Do you have a mission statement? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Corporations have mission statements, most of them pretty boring, but they can help focus the efforts of everyone in the company. Jesus had his life objective firmed up by the age of 12, as we saw yesterday. Today, Pastor Jim will help us think about ours, and he'll offer some suggestions on how we can pull our weight in the family business. But before we do that, let's make sure we're actually in the family. Here's Jim.
Do you know for certain that you have been saved from your sins? If you know for certain that you've been saved, that you have made that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, then right now ask God to make real to you an understanding of that relationship you now have with God as your Heavenly Father. Ask God to show you that that is more important than your relationship with your mom and dad, your sons and daughters, your aunts, your uncles, your boss, your cousins, your co-workers, your neighbors. No other relationship that you have even begins to be as important as that relationship with God as your Heavenly Father. Got it? Okay, now look up at me again. A second thing happened. We see a second thing happening. Jesus not only recognizes his true identity, his true relationship, that he is Son of God, and that his Heavenly Father is his true Father. The second thing we see in this is that this young boy at age 12 recognizes that his dad's got things going here on the earth that are important. That's what he said. Don't you understand that I must be about my Father's business? By the way, that's a very good translation. The Greek behind this, and pardon this excursion, but you'll see the point very quickly. The Greek that's translated here, the Father's business, doesn't have the word business. It's not there. And some translations said, know ye not that I must be about my Father's place or Father's temple? Meaning that the translator thought that Jesus was saying to his parents, I'm here in this temple. This is my dad's house. These are the things that matter. But that's not really what Jesus said. According to the best texts that we have, what Jesus said was, don't you know that I must be about my Father's things? The Greek had a way of doing that. It's a plural adjective. And what it means is that there are things that were special to the Father, and those things were now a concern to his son. And the word business captures that. It's far more than the temple building. And it goes beyond the discussion of the law, which Jesus was just engaged in as a 12-year-old with the teachers and rabbis there in the temple. And it goes beyond the sacrificial system which was taking place there in the temple. And it goes beyond the very feast that Jesus had come to Jerusalem to celebrate, the Passover. The things of God, the things that my Father is doing right now in the world. You ever thought about that? See, what Jesus was saying was, my Heavenly Father not only has a plan for me, but my Heavenly Father has a plan for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God was in Christ redeeming the world. And the Bible gives us a great deal of information that reaches far beyond the subject of your personal salvation and my personal salvation. far beyond the issue of our personal destiny in heaven and hell. The Bible tells us about God's plan for Satan and angels and the dirt under our feet and the governments that control and fashion our lives. The Bible tells us that God has a plan for it all, and that everything around us is on a collision course with that will of God. And that, frankly, what doesn't accomplish that will of God will be destroyed. That's what the Bible says. So we could paraphrase Jesus' statement by saying something like this: Mom and Dad, Mary and Joseph, don't you realize that I have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, the Creator, and what He's doing in our world, for our world, is all that matters? Have you ever had that kind of revelation? Think about that. Everything you and I do falls into one of two categories. Either it is advancing what God's business is all about in our world, and that will be rewarded. That has value. That has sustaining value. Or it falls on the side of what is not advancing our Father's business, and that's absolutely wasted. Every dollar I spend either falls on the side of advancing what God, my Father, is doing in the world, which really matters and is going to last forever, or I have taken that dollar and thrown it into activities that are totally worthless, absolutely valueless. Sobering, isn't it? I would say that's not bad for a 12-year-old boy. What would you say? I'd say he's right on, wouldn't you? Now think about that this morning. Everything you do, everything I do, either advances and accomplishes the Father's business in the world and therefore has value for all eternity, or is a total waste. You're throwing your dollars, your energy, your time, you're wasting it. It's not going to accomplish anything and will have no value. Sitting in an airplane a couple of days ago, I was impressed with how the jet takes off. You know, it's always an enigma to me that these huge, big planes weighing thousands of pounds, huge, big planes, can somehow magically just lift right off the earth and soar into the heaven. It's amazing. Now, you're going to say nothing amazing about it. It's aerodynamics. You've told me nothing. It's still amazing. But here's what I discovered. It takes more energy to get that process started and to get that whole plane off the ground than it does to keep it there. Reading an article some time ago about moon launches and satellites, and I'm told that the greatest concentration of power necessary for the whole thing, for the whole rocket to take off, is that moment of liftoff. You got to have full throttle. I mean, every possible force necessary to lift that stationary rocket with all of its fuel and weight to just get it started. That's the optimum. That's where the most power is needed. And once that thrust has accomplished its purpose, I lived beside the railroad tracks, and you know what the engineers learned a long time ago? You can't start a train of 120 coal cars dead start. I don't care how many engines you've got. Too much weight. So you know what they do? They back them up so that the linkage between the two cars is offset. You know about that, right? And then all the engines have to do is get that first coal car started, right? You get it started, and it connects with the next one, and it gets started, connects with the next one. So when you start a coal train, a train of 120 coal cars, you start each coal car individually, or you're never going to start it. And if you're listening to the process, it sounds like click, 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 click. You can hear it connect all the way down as each car gets started. The energy necessary to overcome the inertia of a coal car standing still moves one car, and as soon as it gets started, then it connects with the next one, and it gets started, and so forth. That's how it gets started. The optimum energy and power needed to start anything that's at a dead weight position is the most important energy of the whole process. Whether it's a shot to the moon, whether starting a train, whether starting a jet plane. Now, what does that have to do with this morning? What you're seeing, what you're reading in this one statement from the heart of Jesus is the shot that takes him forward through the whole rest of his life. And some of us live lives of great mediocrity and indifference and waste because we have not been thrusting in the right direction. But when Jesus said, I have a heavenly Father, I belong to him, he has a business. He is doing things in this world. Not everything is equally important in this world. And the things that my Father is doing, those are the things that matter. Number three, I must be about my Father's business. Boom! That put him in a life trajectory, that put him on a life course, that gave him a goal, that set his course, that set his face, that determined the whole success of Jesus' earthly life. My friend, to you and I have had that moment of resolution. First relationship. I belong to my Heavenly Father. I am saved by His grace. I belong to Him. I am the product of His creative power, of His creative ingenuity. I am here because He is. He has work that He is doing, and He has called me by His grace to do that work. I will pursue my dad's business. And that is the only formula that spells success in this world. Think for a moment about where you work. What's God doing there? I ask you to dress this morning in the relationship, in the uniform, in the clothing that you normally work in, because so often when we come to church, we disassociate. You know, we think that that world out there, Monday through Saturday, that world out there is somehow polluted. It's not important. It's irrelevant. And the thing that really matters is this holy hour on Sunday morning. And this is the most important thing. No, dear friend, You got it backwards. This hour is designed to help you go there and to be effective there in the outflow of your energy and your life and your resources 7 days a week. So what is God doing in your workplace? How can you be about your Father's business in the workplace? We all romanticize. We all do it. We all think, well, if God had called me like he called Robert and Diane to go translate the scriptures into the Anjam language, that would be important. And it is. That is not 1 ounce more important than what God called you to do, and you to do, and you to do, and you, and you, and you, and you. Every person in the sound of my voice who could lift their eyes a moment ago and say, yes, I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am the Son of my Heavenly Father. His Spirit lives within me. I have been born again. Every one of you who could do that now need to ask, what is my Father doing in that corner of the world where he has planted me and placed me and given me assignment? And how can I be about my Father's business in the workplace? You don't go to the workplace to earn dollars to do significant things. You go to the workplace to do significant things that furthers our Father's business and accomplishes our Father's will. And with the resources that are given to you for that, you then further invest in the family business, because the family business is the only business that's going to last. That's it. IBM, AT&T, General Motors, United States government, name them all. They're temporary, they're flawed, and they're going to fail. You believe that? Say amen. Okay, then get with the kingdom business. It's our family business. Our dad owns it. He's called us not to be passive applauders. He's called us to be active participants in the work that Dad's doing. And that puts a claim upon my time. It puts a responsibility upon my money. It changes my whole priority. I am not in this world to satisfy me. My goal is more than raising a family. My goal is more than having a house. My goal and responsibility is more than driving a car, paying my taxes. The call upon my life is the same as the call upon the life of the boy Jesus at 12. I must be about my Father's business. How can you do that? Learn to pray. To get alone with God and to seek his face and to hear his voice and to find his will and to discover his direction and to cultivate his heart. Number two, you gotta spend time in the manual, the business manual, the manual that tells us what our dad is doing, how he's doing it, the resources provided to get it done, and what it'll look like when it's all finished. It's right there in your lap. You got to get acquainted with the manual. You need to make that manual the rule book of your life. Number three, you got to get rid of the idea of sacred and secular. For you, all things in life are sacred. Number four, take out that date book and ask yourself, how is my time expressing my commitment and my resolve to advance my Father's business? Number five, look at that checkbook. Am I investing my financial resources, or am I throwing them away in things that really don't matter? At age 12, Jesus said, I have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. I am His son. My dad has a business in this world, and he has called me to be a full partner in that business. Nothing else matters, and I must discipline all of my life to be about my Father's business. If you could not this morning raise your eyes and say, yes, I know a day and a time when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and my life has been radically different since then, then I beg you this morning to make that decision, to make that commitment. Otherwise, you have no hope, for there is no salvation outside of the salvation Jesus Christ gives. If you raised your eyes and said, yes, I'm a child of God, then this morning, how can I invest in the family business, in the workplace, in relationships, in prayer? How can I invest in the family business? In time, in gifts? How can I invest in the family business? It's quite possible this morning that God has spoken to you in ways like He's spoken to me, of things I need to stop doing, some things that I need to start doing, so that my life and resources will align more fully with the family business.
Those of us who love Jesus are grateful for the one boyhood anecdote that Luke provides us, no doubt from the recollections of Mary. But there's more to be gained from that story if we use the principle as a mirror. Are we about our Father's things? And what are those things? Our sermon covering the last two broadcasts is called Investing in the Family Business. We'll send the message to you on CD for a gift of $7 or more. We've just begun a new series. It investigates special works Jesus did. And you can have all 13 sermons on CD for an offering of $45 or more. Thank you if you support Right Start. The prayers and contributions of some carry these programs out to everyone who has a radio or access to the internet. Tomorrow is the day, June 30th, the end of the fiscal year. It's a day of reckoning in the accounting sense, and your financial gift would be especially helpful today. You can give securely on our website, rightstartradio.org. It's also a place where we give to you. You can listen to radio shows there. If you'd rather hear the full sermons without the broadcast edits, you can play them on the site or download them, all for free. And more at rightstartradio.org. rightstartradio.org. Call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. Or mail your gift or note to Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. The miracles of Jesus started on day one of His public ministry. So that's where we'll go tomorrow, to the Lord's baptism by John. Please join us on Friday for the next Right Start.